Mr. Parsons, Reel 5.
You joined Prince George as a boy seaman.
Yeah.
You would then be aged 17, I think.
Yeah.
And just incidentally, you met Prince Louis.
Yes, yes.
First Prince Louis.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. What did he was on board.
Yes.
You didn't speak to him, but...
No, I went ashore in the afternoon, and he came along, approached me. He was with somebody else, I don't know who it was. And of course, I naturally gave him a lovely salute, you know. And he stopped. He said, "Now, what ship do you belong to?" And he looked at my cap ribbon. "Oh, my ship." He said, "How long have you been in her?" "Oh, a couple of weeks or whatever it was, you know." He said, "You enjoying it? You like it?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I hope you get on all right."
And your training continued here?
Oh, yes. Yes, your training goes on with your training classes, as I pointed out just now. Seamanship, gunnery, torpedo, whatever it is, you see. And you've got to pass those four exams, which were verbal exams, of course, oral, and before you're made able seaman, you see. That's what they call the ordinary seaman's training classes. And your results of those four examinations depended, decided which branch you'd be sent to, you see. Well, I apparently did quite well with the torpedo training class, therefore they recommended me for Vernon and Seaman Torpedo.
And how long were you at Vernon?
Oh, well, it goes in different times.
Yes, you just...
I think for ST, 6 months. I'm not quite sure offhand, short of turning up my thingamabob.
And this gave you, in fact, leading seaman?
No, that you were then able seaman torpedoman. Okay? You were the lowest form of life in the torpedo world. Right, eh? Now then, from then on, your promotion in the executive and or at least in the substantive and non-substantive ran parallel, but not mixed together. So you could become a leading torpedo operator, which is the next LTO, as they call it, as an able seaman, and you can go on right the way through as a chief petty officer, still as an LTO, you see. That's because that's the seamanship side, is the petty officer side, you see. You can also go the other way of advancing in your torpedo career, but not necessarily in your substantive career, you see.
And is there any occasions when the two have embarrassing kind of repercussions?
Yes, there are, but not often.
What sort of occasion would it come up that a man...
Well, now, I did my LTO's course and was recommended for torpedo gunner's mate, you see. I should have gone to sea as an LTO, but they said, "No, we want you to go on." So I became a torpedo gunner's mate, but I was still a leading seaman. Okay? Well, now, I went to a destroyer as a leading seaman, torpedo gunner's mate. That's a senior torpedoman, you see. Well, now, I could give orders to an LTO who was a petty officer. That's where it becomes difficult, you see. Do you see the point? But then it doesn't last long because you will pass for a petty officer, become a petty officer, and you're more or less back to an equivalent stage.
And you left Vernon, I think, in 1914, mm-hmm. right, to join...
Drake, was it, or Good Hope?
Good Hope, I think it was.
Yes, that's right.
Good Hope, as seaman to Peterman.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of...
Dog's body.
Dog's body, effectively, in the torpedo. Mm. So your training, in fact, continued right through. Basically, you were a boy seaman.
Yes.
Until 1911, yes, 1911, mm-hmm. sorry, ordinary seaman.
Yes.
And still learning about torpedoes and ships.
Oh yes,
generally.
Yes.
I mean, still training.
Oh yeah. Oh, still training. Yes. Mm.
Can I talk to you about the work of the men in charge of torpedoes? Because, you know, what you did, mm-hmm. actually, because it is a job that people do things in, unlike
yes.
a lot of jobs where you don't, you know, you make work in a way.
Yes.
We said in discussing the question like earlier of work on board that the commander's men, the upper deck hands, mm-hmm. the seamen, mm-hmm. Have nothing to do except find jobs for themselves.
Yes, that's right.
And the spit and polish, in fact, is very much...
Mostly spit and polish, yes, yes.
And that is what spit and polish is,
yes.
in a way,
yes.
is making work for idle hands.
Mm, mm, yes.
But not so the torpedo man.
No, he's... as I pointed out just now, he's torpedo and electrics. He was in those days, you see. You became what they call the ELP, the Electric Light Party. And you dealt with nothing but torpedoes and electrics, unless there was some seamanship going on, if you know what I mean, general evolutions, or you might be seaboat's crew or something like that, you see. So it's your whole time in a department.
And it's a technical job.
It's a technical job, yes.
And you had to know how to do it.
Yes, yes, of course.
What was the main part of the work, the main component in the care and maintenance?
Well, you had all the, say, the electrical side, if you like. You're the same as in the factory. There's the lighting, there's machinery, dynamos, generators, searchlights, and so on, you see. And there was always the maintenance on that lot.
How was this work organised? Who was responsible for it, and how was it structured?
You had... according to the ship, you may have a chief TGM, torpedo gunner's mate, and another petty officer gunner's mate, and LTOs, and they had their own little parties. You see, now we'll say that the electric light party would consist of a TGM or an LTO with four chaps, you see, and they did all their electrical maintenance under those chaps, you see. And with the torpedo, you had a torpedo party that they did actually play with the torpedoes, care and maintenance, preparing for running and so on, you know what I mean. And then they were all together under one senior chief TGM and the torpedo gunner, right?
And within that, I mean, each man had his own particular task.
Yes, oh yes.
Responsibility, area of responsibility.
Yes, yes.
And he had to be able to do it.
Oh yes, that's the object of the torpedo courses, is to show you how to do it.
How much of it was assembly and breakdown, check, clean and put together? And how much of it was actually involved you repairing and doing...
Yes, well, actually, when it came to repairing... There was, you had your electricians.
Who work, in fact, on board.
Yes.
And that was all electrical work at that time, was in fact done by torpedo.
Torpedo and electricians. Now, they were like your engine room artificers, but they were electrical artificers. They were all chief POs, you see. And, they used to do the engineering side of, supposing an electric motor had gone fat, you see. Well, now the ordinary torpedo man would pull it to pieces and find the trouble. If the repair was beyond them, it went to the electricians, and they soldered up the commutator or whatever it may be, you see.
And this, something like this with the torpedo, we're talking there about the how... I asked you about the extent of repair work you did.
Yes, that's right.
Now, how much, in fact, repairs obviously wouldn't be that common, but certain jobs would go wrong, or certain brackets would break, or
yes.
Components would fracture. Mm. What the extent was the torpedo man expected to be able to deal with this? Or
well,
did he send for an engineer?
If you had spare parts, which you do, you carry spare parts, he should be able to fit a spare part. But when it came to actually... a job wanted turning on a lathe or something like that, then the electrician would have to do it.
But the main thing was that you had a job to do.
Yes.
Unlike people on deck.
Mm. Oh, yes, yes. You were what they called special parties. Now, after breakfast, you see, you'd fall in, and that was the first thing that happened. Special parties carry on. Out would go the gunnery party, out would go the torpedo party, and so on, you see. Then the remainder were left for the poor old commander to get on with, you see. Then he might have special jobs in hand. The chief gunner's mate would come along and say, right, can I have six hand because I want to dismantle the former's four-inch gun or something like that, you see. Right, then four seamen would be detailed to go and do that.
So they were the labourers, really?
They were the labourers, yes, yes.
And you expected to be able to get on with your work, presumably, as well?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Supervision, you'd be given a job and expected to be able to...
To be able to do it, yes, yes. Get that damn thing working. You know? But then you've always got somebody to fall back on. You see, supposing you couldn't quite get that, you'd go to your torpedo gunner's mate and say, here, what about this, can you? See, he'd be more qualified than you were, so that the job would get done quite readily.
So he might be more qualified, but might not know just the same. Perhaps he was more qualified theoretically, but perhaps it was a job he'd either avoided doing himself, or maybe he couldn't help you.
Yes. Oh, well, no, he should be able to help you because he's had the experience.
What were the tricky jobs in torpedoes? What were the jobs that gave you headaches most?
I don't know that. I think a gunnery control mostly. There was all sorts of gunnery things, you know, all electrical, you see. And they were very complicated, these things. And, if there's anything happens on the bridge, or one of your range finders have gone fat or something like that, you see, well, you don't know where that fault is. You've got to chase it. Might be right the way down, back to the dynamo almost, you see. It was a question of location and testing.
And in this thing, this context, again, we talked about how discipline is a different element here. Discipline depends on people knowing their jobs and relying and being able to rely
on
each other. And it's based on a rather more informal knowledge of each other.
Yes, yes.
On deck, it's a face-to-face, mindless, do as you were told.
Yes, or else. Yes, yes.
But in among technical people, it was rather different, I think.
Yes, oh yes, it was. Mm.
And much more depending on it as well. You say.
Oh yes, oh yes. You carried a badge on your arm, and you should be able to do everything that that badge entails.
The sense of discipline really was everybody working together.
Together. Mm, mm.
And knowing that you had no weak link, so...
Yes, yes, that's right. Mm.
And just, we're talking about spit and... And... And just, we're talking about spit and polish there... you know, we said that a lot of spit and polish is really a kind of giving people jobs with nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there is discipline too, which, I mean, in ships are ships, and as you know from the time you arrive in the Navy, you wouldn't work if everyone did what he wanted to do.
Quite.
There has to be rules. And you... presumably would think that was fair enough, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Your preference, though, was in fact not for just a little bit. You can't be sort of half pregnant or half disciplined. You wanted it exactly.
Yes, oh yes, yes, definitely.
Why was this, actually?
Well, that's the only way, is everyone pulling together and doing one's job. And if one does that, it's a happy ship.
People know where they stand.
Yes, oh yes, they do.
Okay. This is what you prefer.
Mm.
And perhaps Navy men prefer.
Oh yes, they do. I'm sure of it.